This fourth Sunday of Easter is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday, which comes, of course, from the gospel we just heard, where Jesus proclaims himself to be the Good Shepherd. This Good Shepherd Sunday is also the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. We remember that God calls each of us to live in a particular state in life in service to him, and in which we will find happiness. The Latin root of the word vocation means to call. It is a calling that God has in store for each of us, a particular mission, you might say. In God's flock, there have been many who are given the vocation to marriage, and then the additional calling to be fathers and mothers. Some in the flock live in a single vocation where their lives demonstrate a devotion to their brothers and sisters as a service to God. Others receive the vocation to become religious brothers or sisters, and they take special vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And they serve God and their fellow man within this profound religious consecration. And then there are others in God's flock who are called to be priests, whom are configured to Christ the High Priest, to be the presence of Jesus the Good Shepherd in the pastures of his church. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, I would kindly like to ask all of you for your prayers for me, as the shepherd of this particular community, this particular part of the Lord's flock. And please pray for my brother priests as well, who strive each and every day to be good shepherds. We are in need of your prayers and your prayer support. I'd also like you to please remember to pray for vocations to the priesthood within your own family, within the families of this parish, and within our entire archdiocesan family. If you read my column in the bulletin or are my friend on Facebook, you know that I spent last week in Rome. I was there for a brief visit. Father Jim Prophet was there with me, and he didn't get me into too much trouble while we were over there. And also Father Stephen Roth. Father Stephen is our archdiocesan vocation director. You may remember him. He celebrated Mass here on a number of occasions. And he was going over on business, so Father Jim and I just sort of tagged along. He was going to visit the four seminarians that we have studying at the North American College, which is the American Seminary in Rome. Father Stephen was telling us that he projects that at the beginning of next school year, we could have as many as 60 seminarians for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. That's a tremendous blessing, a tremendous grace that the Lord is stirring the hearts of so many to consider a vocation to the priesthood. It's a great number considering the size of this particular diocese. I think all of us have been inspired by the quality of the seminarians that we have all encountered over the years here in our parish. I'm going to embarrass Trey just for a minute, so watch his face turn red. Here's a young man who could be very successful, was very successful in his career, and chose to follow the Lord in this particular vocation, to test the vocation to the priesthood. Surely will do great things as a priest. We remember Mike Masulia, who is here with us, Zachary Watson, the both of them will be ordained priests in June. Great, great men who have given their lives to the priesthood, have been called by God. One of the four seminarians who is at the North American College in Rome was a middle school student in my second assignment as a priest. That made me feel really old. And one of the other seminarians who's in Rome right now, his name is Tommy O'Donnell. He's going to be ordained a deacon next month, May 18th. And he's going to be spending the summer with us here at St. Mark. So it was great to spend some time with him. This is just all to say that I think we have all seen the great quality of men that the Lord is raising up for us. Father Stephen also said that within the next 3 years, we project that there will be 18 new priests in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We also remember as well that we are living in difficult times in our church community. When I first started in the seminary, it was when the clergy abuse scandal was really kind of just blowing up all over the place in 2002, especially in Boston. It was a particularly difficult time to be starting off seminary education. We think back just to last year and ongoing as an archdiocesan family, we're trying to come to terms with our past, our checkered past, and to ask for forgiveness from those who have been harmed by ministers of the church, and to seek to bring healing to them so that their lives can receive a bit of wholeness. Last weekend, you may have heard about the Seek the City plan that was shared about the parishes in Baltimore City and the surrounding areas around the Beltway. It's hard to see what has happened to the church in the city of Baltimore, but it's a reality that we have to come to terms with, that we have an infrastructure that was built to support a church which simply doesn't exist anymore in Baltimore City. And it will be hard for many people to say goodbye to the past. But sometimes nostalgia can freeze us in place and stop us from progressing to where God wants us to be, to a better place than we are right now. So truly, these have been some very difficult times in our church family. And we can get kind of stuck in the mental exercise of thinking that just everything is bad news, because it's all we see and hear and read around us. But you know, what I've seen over this particular time of difficulty is that people are stepping up more and more. That all of you are saying that you want your church to be alive and to be stronger than ever. That when the culture wants to proclaim the death of our church, all of you have said that it's not true. So some of the things that I have noticed recently, signs of good news. I've already mentioned about the vocations and the new priests in our archdiocesan family. Closer to home, here in our St. Mark family, our Easter Mass attendance was 151 people more year to year. That's a wonderful increase. Our offertory giving is up about 2% year to year. We're adding additional times for Eucharistic adoration during the course of our week. I'm a big believer that the Lord blesses those people and parishes who commit to Eucharistic adoration, to coming before him in the Holy Eucharist for prayer. We had the largest group of people receive sacraments at the Easter Vigil this past Easter. Certainly in the 5 years that I've been here, it's been the largest group. And we have seen a literal transformation in many of the families of this parish through family faith formation. By incorporating parents into the religious education of your children and normalizing the fact that it is within families that your children learn to love Jesus and that you grow together in faith. All of this is simply to say, all of this and more is to say that despite what some people may want you to believe, and despite some fairly serious challenges that are coming our way, Jesus is still and will always be the good shepherd of his church. He laid down his life for us and for his church. He calls each and every one of us by name as members of his flock. And he has risen from the dead so that we can have hope, hope in him. So while we walk through this valley of tears, there certainly will be challenges. And that's nothing new in our church family. You look at the first reading today that we heard from the Acts of the Apostles. We hear from Peter. Peter, who, remember, on Holy Thursday, what did he do? He denied that he even knew the Lord. "Surely I do not know the man," he said. He failed terribly. Even after Jesus had risen from the dead, he didn't believe. And in John's gospel, he says, "I'm going fishing." He goes back to what he knew beforehand, before he even knew Jesus, to find comfort and security. But this morning we encounter Peter in the Acts of the Apostles transformed. Here he is standing up before the Jewish authorities and proclaiming the name of Jesus as Lord, the one he had denied. Here he proclaims he's the only name by which you will be saved. Each of us is called to be like St. Peter and proclaim Jesus to our world, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, to proclaim that Jesus is Lord and to witness to him and what he has done in our lives. Jesus needs witnesses. Unfortunately, we can get stuck thinking that we can't do that, or we're not qualified. We don't have enough education, or whatever excuse we can come up with. But, you know, Jesus doesn't need theologians. He needs witnesses. And we simply share with others what he has done in my life and what that means. St. Peter in the first reading today didn't have anything else than what we already have, namely the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down upon Peter on Pentecost, and he came down upon each and every single one of us in our baptisms and in our confirmations. He comes down upon us to proclaim the good news that we have been called to be God's children, like we heard in the second reading today, and that we live as God's children now, and he has more in store for us. There's a whole future which has yet to been revealed, as St. John told us today in the second reading. So my friends, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, this fourth Sunday of Easter, let's listen to the voice and commit to following the Good Shepherd in our own lives, in our lives of faith, and in the life of this parish community. And may the Good Shepherd raise up many new holy priests from among his flock. And may the shepherds, along with the sheep, be witnesses to Jesus in our world, to bring the good news of the gospel and God's love to a world that needs to hear it.